You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can't. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I've never been kissed
by you. Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything goes well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great day today, and I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do, and I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, and it must be done, it has to get done, you will do it. You will not procrastinate. You will persevere. You'll get it done. That's why we love you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific time, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, you can go to babaoshi.net, 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 and get all those programs as well. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and all times are going to give our Eastern Times. So on Monday evenings from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed out of Philadelphia. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. After that program is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. The Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Fridays. Time for an awakening. Saturday, from 4 to 6 on Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then on Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Taimba has been taking our people to the motherland, repatriating some of them. And believe me, beautiful website. Go to Africa, that is spelt with a C, not the K, as it should be. But hey, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything you need to make a trip of a lifetime is on that website. The documents, the visas, all that kind of information is right there, what you need. Of course, he has a trip upcoming this month, May 24th to June 5th. And then
going to Tanzania, November 18th to the 29th. And at the end of the year, December 24th to January 5th, 2022, to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th, 2022, to Senegal and Gambia. The trips at this time still only cost $3,700 per person, $3,700. But hey, you put a $400 down payment, you pay on it monthly or whatever it is. If you can do that or whatever, how it, you can make it happen, make it happen. All right, dear brothers and sisters, that's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Baba Rinoko Rashidi. Baba Rinoko has a webinar coming up Friday the 28th and Saturday the 29th. The African Roots of Humanity and Civilization. The African Roots is a webinar. Go to Eventbrite. Go to Eventbrite. It's a Zoom lecture series, 90-minute lecture series. Go to Eventbrite, and that is Friday, May 28th from 8 p.m. to 9:30 Eastern Time. And then Saturday, May 29th through, and once again, these are webinars. So go to Eventbrite. And of course, Baba Rinoko, he has a trip upcoming to Ghana, July 18th to August 3rd, 2021. And that is with Professor Small and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. Baba Rinoko will be in Ghana. Around that same time, he's leaving from Ghana and going to Kemet. And that is July 31st to August 13th. July 31st to August 13th in Kemet. Go to his website, drrinoko.com. drrinoko.com. Habashah, HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. This organization is doing the work, dear brothers and sisters, and deserves to be supported. Its work here locally or in the States is Habashah Works Program, dealing with sustainable agriculture, Black to Our Roots, sustainable seeds, and the golden growers and the urban green jobs. The project they have going on in Ghana is the Kashi Project. And when you go to the website, HabashahIncorporated.org, you'll see great pictures, beautiful pictures of the things that are happening. Also, too, they have a program to deal with repatriation. Repatriation, that's right, brothers and sisters. It is, and it's been, time to go home. Time to go home. The LEDGE Group. The LEDGE Group stands, LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They have a raffle. They have a raffle going on. You can enter the raffle to Tanzania, a safari, all-paid trip to a safari in Tanzania. So go to theledgegroup.com and check that out. Of course, the LEDGE Group, they deal with the four areas of human development. That is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members, and they always need more members. Brothers and sisters, theledgegroup.com. B.B. Toomey, B.B. Atumi, bbatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, I've been saying to you, go to bbatumi.com. I mean, it's a great site for all kinds of information. You can shop. All kinds of things to do. Oh, you can learn languages. You can learn Igbo. You can learn Kiswahili, Medu Neture. You know, all kinds of good stuff is on bbitumi.com. That's A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. bbitumi.com. And of course, they have coming up this Saturday. This is an outstanding piece this Saturday. What is Israel in relation to Black people, the danger of a single story? It's 1 o'clock Eastern time. The program is 1 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock time in Ghana, 1 o'clock Eastern time. So that's 12 Central, 11 Mountain, and 10 Pacific time. Go to BB Toomey. Go become a member of this webinar series, and you can join it. Just go through, be sure to check your order confirmation, email for access details. You want to be a part and check out this series. What is Israel? And you've seen what's been happening in Israel. Man, in the deep. So that's Saturday. And they have another program that Saturday, African-Centered Gaming Development and Course Bundle. And then the following Saturday, the 22nd, Spirit in the Room, an African-Centered Approach to Therapy from Isfet to Ma'at. And that, I believe, will be done by Dr. Mawia Kamban. And then Saturday, the 29th of May, in the Legacies and Impact of the Transatlantic Slave Trade on the African Diaspora. So check out these series. Great information. You will not regret it, brothers and sisters. No regrets. No regrets. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar here in the West End. Go to Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar for delicious smoothies, vitality drinks, and foods and so forth. And on weekends, they have vegan food being served that you can get a vegan, nice vegan plate. And across the street, right across the street from the Soul Veg, right on Ralph David Abernathy, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine is open on weekends, on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7. And so check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a new location in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call or go to the Greenbrier Mall and check her out. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, you name it, she has it. And if she doesn't, she'll get it for you. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is Brother Gazimde Ajamu, a Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here in Atlanta. He has a coffee bar serving delicious Cameroon Boyo and other African coffees and teas and so forth. He also has the Red, Black, and Green Shoes. He has a fine selection of books. If you're looking for a book, give him a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. And if he doesn't have it, believe me, he'll get it for you. That's the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, tomorrow night, their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is called Dare to Win, and that is their Thursday night broadcast. You can listen that way, but you can also give them a call and to listen or give a question, comment, or concern at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789 at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on Thursdays. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. Brothers and sisters, check out Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Give Sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. She has a fine array of grooming things. When you got a beard, and you get your beard all groomed up and smelling good, and incense and all kinds of t-shirts. That's right, brothers and sisters. Shelly Amundsen, check her out at Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sister Gabrielle Abrilia, who's doing outstanding work in Haiti, in the northeastern portion of Haiti. Please, brothers and sisters, give Sister Gabby a call. No, excuse me. Go online. Go to Sanjay, Sonje-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti. And support what she's doing, the beautiful work they're doing with education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. As you know, the island of Haiti does not have any kind of safety net. And so whatever they can get, they got. and they're doing great work with education. The kids look beautiful. So much love. Akabin Institute, the Akabin Institute, the P.O. Box. They send your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. This is Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti. They're doing a beautiful work. If you want to use PayPal or Cash App, use Cash App. Put in the dollar sign Ya, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make an ongoing donation to Akabin Institute. You want any books from Baba Baruti? Go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. You know he is a prolific writer. He has all that stuff right there for you at AkabinHouse.com. The Inye Sasim. I'm going to read the Inye Sasim. And, of course, my discussion today, I'll be talking with Brother Muhammad Abdullah, my good friend Brother Muhammad Abdullah, and we'll be talking about El Hajj Malik, El Shabazz, Brother Omar Wali, Malcolm X, influence on the great jazz giant John Coltrane. And so we'll talk about that. And I still have a few more things. I'm going to read the Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And then I'm going to play Love Supreme. Right after that, Brother Muhammad and I will have some discussion. All right, and you can join that discussion by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. May 11th, examine your life. Do you possess effective leadership skills? Can you follow directions and take orders? Do you have functional social skills necessary to build and sustain stable relationships, communicate effectively, and resolve conflict? Do you have the capacity to create a sustained, purely African power base, a purely power base of economy, society, and culture? Do you have a developed African character, morality, and personality that will allow you to behave in an ethical, courteous, non-exploitive, non-oppressive, and respectful way towards other Africans? Are you capable of defining, protecting, and preserving a perpetual African way of life? Have you settled in your mind that you are indeed an African instead of trying to force yourself on Caucasians by transforming their system of religion, economics, and politics, etc., so that you are included among them and given them an identity? Do you have a big ego? Are you angry, bitter, arrogant, competitive, contrary of argument and argumentative? Can you manage your personal affairs and live up to responsibilities that you have to your mate, family, and children? Have you dealt with your own personal hangups? Akinyetu. Those who serve us, who confuse information with wisdom, fall for ignorance and as intelligence. Intelligence thinks. It considers and applies worthy words and ignores those which are infantile or defeatist. A dynamic warrior mind thinks for people out of what they desire in their hearts of hearts. As frontline vanguards, warriors are thinking weapons. They are our best weapons, for whether their weapon of choice is pen or pistol, they are able to navigate Urugu's insanity and negotiate any menticidal tendencies on their own. Affirm, I possess a vast array of leadership skills. Affirm, I possess a vast array of leadership skills. May 12th, for the only great men among the unfree and the oppressed are those who struggle to destroy oppressors. I read again. For the only great men among the unfree and the oppressed are those who struggle to destroy the oppressors. Dr. Walter Rodney. The level of satisfaction those claiming to act as warriors, but who waste so much time engineering and implementing the destruction of serious frontliners. Is amazing. It's hard to imagine that individuals who claim to recognize Urugu as their true enemy could become so hatefully vocal against those among our own who are doing the work for us. We live in a democracy proclaiming reality where people want you to be who you are as long as that is what they want you to be. Do not allow anyone claiming to be a warrior tell you that you are doing nothing to nation build simply because you are not doing what they think you should be doing, especially if they are not doing anything either. And this is one of the most astonishing facts in this analysis. This confusion is rising among mostly from those who have literally done nothing to help dismantle the apparatus through which Urugu oppresses us. This is not to say that none of their accusations are without foundation. As you know, there is some truth in every lie. Their egos are just unable to grasp the common sense that divisive controversy will remain endless among individuals who are forced to negotiate their survival while under assault in a dire situation. Either that, or they are unable to comprehend the simple facts that noise is not revolution. Affirm, I struggle to destroy the oppressors of African people. Affirm, I struggle to destroy the oppressors of African people everywhere. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem. I'm always marvel at sometimes when I open up the Inye Sesem and bam, there it is. Brothers and sisters, John Coltrane, A Love Supreme. We'll be right back. John Coltrane, A Love Supreme. You're listening to African Perspectives. My guest today is Brother Muhammad Abdullah. Brother Muhammad, how are you? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Oshi. I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing well, my brother. I'm doing well, man. Hold on. I apologize. I'm trying to cue for the next song.
You can never play enough Love Supreme.
I know that's right. Okay. I want to read something, Brother Muhammad, that I
sure.
found from the article. And it is what John Coltrane had to say based upon his experience and, of course, the influence that El Hajj Malik El Shabazz had on him and what was happening in the 60s and him coming out of a situation much like Malik Shabazz, of drugs, of crime and so forth. And of course we know Coltrane had a serious addiction as well, and they both came out of it to be the kind of model of men that all of us...
He had two.
Mm-hmm.
He had two. Which one are you referring to?
I'm referring to, explain.
Why I say two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first one we know was heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Parker, Miles Davis. I could go on talking about the jazz musicians back during that time who became addicted to heroin. But I just and I apologize for interrupting you, and I hope you pick up on your thought where you're going. But almost every picture you see of a jazz musician back in the day, from Louis Armstrong to Billie Holiday to Charlie Parker, probably everybody except Ella Fitzgerald and Lena Horne, they got a cigarette in their hand.
Yeah.
John William Coltrane was addicted to heroin, but he was also addicted to cigarettes.
Yeah, tobacco probably is more, it's not as addictive as heroin or crack and stuff, but
yes,
tobacco,
it is.
But it
yes,
is. Because tobacco is intentionally, tobacco is an intentional addiction by the manufacturers.
Right. Well, as a smoke cessation specialist, we did research with the University of Wisconsin Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention here in Madison back in 2011, 2012. I can tell you emphatically, nicotine is more addictive than heroin or cocaine.
Wow.
And damaging, because it's legal and it's so accessible.
Right.
And the tobacco industry, the film industry, lied for decades about the perilous effects, the deadly effects of nicotine addiction. So, but go ahead. Sorry, Oshie. I just wanted to...
No, that's a great point, and we'll talk more about that. But I wanted to read this particular piece, Brother Muhammad. This is what Coltrane wrote. He said, "Dear listeners, all praise be to God, whom all praise is due. Let us pursue him in the righteous path. During the year of 1957, I experienced by the grace of God a spiritual awakening, which was to lead me to a richer, fuller, more productive life. At the time, in gratitude, I humbly asked to be given the means and the privilege to make others happy through music. I feel this has been granted through his grace. As time and events move on, I entered into a phase which was contradictory to the pledge and gave way from the esteemed path. But thankfully, through the unerring and merciful hand of God, I do perceive and have been duly re-informed of his omnipresence and of our need for and dependent on him. At this time, I'd like to tell you that no matter what, it is with God. He is graceful, he is gracious and merciful. His way is in love, to which we all are. It is truly, truly a love supreme." Brother John Coltrane, obviously basically stating some of what you stated before about him going through all his trials and tribulations, and through faith and through perseverance, you know, he came out of it. I loved the documentary I saw on him on Netflix on John Coltrane.
It's Chasing the Train.
Yep. How did you like it?
Yeah, it's Chasing the Train. After people, I won't say they stopped chasing Charlie Parker, but John William Coltrane became a much sought after figure because people, human beings are constantly looking for answers and looking for guidance and direction. Not always in the best places, of course. And so much, because so many people rely on spirituality or religion for it, it leaves room for abuse. Some people who represent or say they represent religion very often are hurt people, and hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
Fortunately, that occurs even. But when I received the article, I received that article by Richard Bryant Turner through my news feed on Google, and I get a lot of I don't know anything about algorithms, but I get a lot of stuff
right.
about jazz. Come through there, I presume, because of how I move on the internet. But so when I saw it, Malcolm X inspired John William Coltrane to embrace Islamic spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I anybody that's been around me, and you've known me for 50, 60 years, since high school, and if you've been around me long enough, you know I love John William Coltrane. He is one of my favorite jazz musicians. And I love Malcolm. And I never met these two individuals. I've only read their words, listened to their creativity, internalized a lot of it. And, I love them with the love that, I know who my father is, but if you ask me, do you love Curtis Smith? I didn't know Curtis Smith. I mean, I never met him, and I know so little about him that it would be hard for me to say, I love Curtis Smith, but I love Muhammad Ali, I love Malcolm, and I love John Coltrane, a brotherly kind of love. It's been, ever since I met them, that became instant. But my issue, Oshie, is I know of no evidence. And if we can contact Richard Bryant Turner, who's one of my, I use his book when I'm doing research or doing presentations on Islam. Richard Bryant Turner wrote a book called Islam and the African American Experience. And it's a companion to, for me, to Dr. Sherman Abdul-Hakim Jackson's book, Islam and the Black American. And I credit him a lot. He did. I love his research that he did on the history of Islam in America, and it coincides with much of the history of jazz history of jazz musicians in the 30s, 40s, 50s. You know, dibbles and dabbed in what little they knew of, or what little of what we would call Islam existed here in America at that particular time. Mm-hmm. But I have never read anything that lends credence to his statement that Malcolm inspired John William Coltrane to embrace Islamic spirituality. And my first question to him would be, and I think he could answer, what is Islamic spirituality? I ask you, Oshie, what is Islamic spirituality?
You know, I can't answer that. So, I know what Islam is. It's a mission to Allah. I know what Islam is. But in terms of Islamic spirituality.
So answer that question. What is Islam?
Islam is a religion based on the five pillars. And Islam is submission to do the will of Allah.
Excellent answer. And the spirituality part would be a stretch for you, would it not?
Yeah, because, you know, even that, because I'm a spiritual person, and African spirituality is so broad. When you say that, you know, how can you pinpoint that? Do you pinpoint that by a particular cultural group of Africans in their spirituality, whether it be Ifa, whether it be Igbo, whatever, you know? And so even in Islam, when you have a number of sects, what is it? I mean, like, in the article, he points to a number of them, like Ishrish Muhammad, that are Muslims, you know, and that are musicians, and basically saying that, you know, Yusuf Lateef. I remember listening to Yusuf Lateef, and then he also there's Babatunde Olatunji. Babatunde Olatunji, you know, that when Coltrane had gone to Africa, you know, and these people had a profound influence on him.
So let me just answer your question, the question with respect to if you were to go and research for Islamic spirituality, you might recall that in his article he introduced the word Sufism,
yes.
So, to many Muslims and to many non-Muslims, when you think of when they say spirituality, what Richard Bryant Turner is saying,
is Richard Bryant Turner Caucasian?
No, he's African American.
Okay, all right.
He's African American, mm-hmm. And he's a researcher. He teaches at, I can't think of the university where he teaches. And again, my first introduction to him was through his book, Islam and African American Spirit, which, Oshie, if you get a hold of and read a copy of it, he is the first person that I ever heard say, or I've read of him, that Marcus Garvey, and Delaney, what is his full name?
Martin R. Delaney, Martin Robinson Delaney, who is considered the father of Pan Africanism.
So he, Richard Bryant Turner, in his book Islam and African American Experience, he quotes Marcus Garvey as saying he had only been exposed to Christianity, and he associated with the oppressor, and that if he was going to become religious, he would incline towards Islam. He does the same thing with Martin. Isn't his name Martin Delaney?
Right, Martin Delaney, Martin R. Delaney.
Right.
Yep.
So he suggests that. Now, you know, I don't have any. If someone asked me to qualify what he's saying, I don't know where I would go to get that information. But clearly, Here's what my issue is with respect to his statement in regards to, and I'm not saying that if there's no one who listened to Malcolm, let alone read about him after he died. Mm-hmm. But if you had the ability like John William Coltrane, and it seems he, in the article, Alice Coltrane backs him up by saying that he went to New York to listen to Malcolm. He quotes her in the article as saying that. But when you look at these two individuals, these two intellectual giants, they had a short time. John William Coltrane wrote Love Supreme in 1964, recorded it in 1964, and it was released in 1965. Malcolm
died in 65,
February 1965.
Right.
And so the other thing is, Oshie, the words Sufism and Islamic spirituality was not something that was around. Pretty much, unless you came in contact with an immigrant Muslim, in 1964-65, there were two versions of Islam in America. Ahmadiyyism, the two branches of Ahmadiyyism, and there are two, the Ghulam Ahmed faction, which Muhammad Sabir was a community.
That's out of India, that's coming out of India.
Out of India, mm-hmm. Ghulam Ahmed, who was the founder of Ahmadiyyism, and then an offshoot of it, people who came from Ghulam Ahmed, but when India was partitioned to create the state of Pakistan, those individuals ended up in Pakistan. That's the community that the W.D. Farrar character in the Nation of Islam.
Oh, is that right? Okay. W.D. Farrar.
He comes from that Pakistani law. So if you look at at the Quran that Louis Farrakhan holds in his hand, and that was most prevalent in the Nation of Islam in the early years, Elijah Muhammad period, if you look in the inside cover, it says this Quran is produced or printed by the Ahmadi community in Lahore, Pakistan. They are referred to as the Lahori branch of the Ahmadi movement. And most of the musicians, most chiefly Yusuf Lateef, most of the jazz musicians during that period of time who identified or had some connection to Islam, probably with the exception of Art Blakey. I think Art Blakey traveled to Africa and made a connection with Islam. But most everybody else, it was Ahmadi Islam.
Hmm.
So, I don't know of any jazz musicians, there may have been some who were in the Nation of Islam. But the other thing, Oshie, is that...
So most of these people were not in the Sunnah, or not even in Shia. They were not in the Sunnah. They were...
It didn't exist then, Oshie. No, in 1960s, the word Sunnah didn't really come into the parlance of indigenous African Americans who, up until the mid-70s or late 70s, the largest community of Muslims, so-called, quote-unquote, Sunni Muslims in the United States, were followers of W.D. Muhammad. But eventually, immigrant Muslims from Asia, Africa, the Arab world, they overtook us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They run most of what identifies as Islam. And the only thing I'm taking issue with this brother is saying is that, And this is my other point. I love Love Supreme, but if you read the liner notes of Love Supreme, there's the word Islam, Allah, does not exist. The only religious references related to the song Love Supreme, and I love Love Supreme, is the Bible, Psalms. Because John William Coltrane's father, I believe, was a preacher, but he definitely came out of the Pentecostal tradition. And as he grew in jazz music, that did not contain, it didn't offer him the aesthetic that he was looking for with this music that you could experiment with coming from Charlie Parker, for the most part, that he was on. And he looked for it in a lot of places, not just in Islam. He looked for it in India. He looked for it anywhere he could find it. But I've had to push back on Muslims who want to suggest that John William Coltrane was a Muslim. And they try to use love supreme into some of the language. And, of course, he may have read the Quran. Hell, Thomas Jefferson had a copy of the Quran.
I read the Quran. Yusuf Ali translation.
Yes, but let me ask you this. Did you know that Yusuf Ali was a Shiite Muslim?
No.
Yes. So that's what I kind of take issue with. And again, if you ask me, well, Muhammad, do you consider yourself a spiritual Muslim? Not greatly. I'm not just not a really big spiritual guy.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't brought up in a spiritual environment. Spirituality is a stretch for me. So, but if you ask, so you're not a Sufi, Muhammad? No, I'm not a Sufi.
Explain that.
Explain
that, brother Muhammad.
Identified as a Sufi? Yes.
Explain that for our listeners.
Sufi?
Yes. Sufism.
Very controversial stuff. Is it two things related to this article are controversial in Islam? Sufism and music. Some Islamic scholars will tell you that music is prohibited in Islam. And for African Americans, particularly in my age and who grew up with music.
Right. It's integral. It's serious. It's part and parcel.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
But do I believe music is haram? I don't know. This is what some scholars say.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm challenging. And if one of us can get in contact with him, I would love to have this phone with Richard Brian Turner.
Mm-hmm.
He's knowledgeable about Islam. But here I think he's way, way off base.
Well, Sufism
comes from the Arabic word suf, which means wool. And so historically, it's looked at upon as being a lean towards monasticity in Islam after the death of the Prophet Muhammad. And it came about by individuals who came into the religion with the idea that you have to make the religion very difficult in order for you to practice it, and that's the only path to spirituality. What I see of Sufism, what I've seen of it around the Muslim world, it's insane to me.
Mm.
There's some insane parts. It's very abusive. Individuals who claim to be Sufis. Because what it implies, Oshie, and I don't incline towards this. I've read nothing that makes me incline towards this as a Muslim. But in Sufism, you have to have someone who you have to submit yourself to. They said like the dead body submits to the person who is washing it for burial. I've never read anything in Islam that says I have to give myself over to another human being like that. That's an aspect of Sufism.
Okay,
and these individuals who, for the most part, it's an influence that came from outside Islam that people brought in with it. So, okay, I want to be Muslim, but a Hindu. When I was a Hindu, I'm not saying I know. This is a literal quote, Oshie, but it, you see people who are Sufis, and they have these beads, and they count on them. And
like a rosary or something?
Yes. Hmm. You said it exactly like it is explained by people who say, this is not from Islam. Hmm. This is an influence from Hinduism. They use beads to count mantras. And Christians, mainly Catholics, use beads to count their Hail Marys or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever praise of God that they're doing. I've been a Muslim for
30-something years, I'm not counting the Nation of Islam period, but just say I'll throw that in. 50 years, I've never owned a pair of beats.
I hear you. Well, listen.
I've never owned a pair of beats.
Well, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break, but Richard Brent Turner is a professor of the Department of Religious Studies and African Studies at the University of Iowa. He is the author of The Soundtrack to a Movement, Jazz Religion, and The Second Line in Black New Orleans, and Islam in the African-American Experience. So that's who he is, and we're going to continue with this conversation. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and Black Talk RadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I love Supreme. A couple of announcements before I continue the conversation with my brother, Muhammad Abdullah. The Pan-African Federalist Movement is having a conversation on what's in a name, a virtual town hall on the day of African Liberation Day. That's Tuesday, May 25th, African Liberation Day, 6 p.m. until 9. That's going to be New York, Atlanta, D.C., and Florida. There's a link to it, and I'll be giving that out. The North American Pan-African Federalist Movement, what's in a name? And I'm going to be part of that program, and I'm very happy to be. And also, too, this Sunday, the 18th annual Aboxim Sumsum, Race First African Ancestral War Plan. And I'm going to play this right quick because this is my good sister, Marimba Ani. And for those who know that I love my sister, I love Yurugu. I love what she has done and the work that she continues to do. And so she, let me see. Oh, here it is. Okay, let me bring this up. Okay. And we'll play this.
Where you are in our story as told by Nana John Henry Clark. Come to Abakasim Sumsum, where our warrior ancestors, Ya Santiwa, Seithio Fatima, and Dandara, give us the courage to live for world African sovereignty. And the men and women and children and wives of Haiti manifest the energy of the African people's revolution. Come to Abakasim Sumsum, hear the voices of our warrior ancestors, call our children, our youth, to African sovereignty through song, dance, war chants, hear the drums, feel the rhythm as they call us to the African People's Republic of Palmares, where we learn to organize, build, and defend a strong African nation. Cabral is calling us to join the African People's Guerrilla Army of Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde. Lumumba gives us the order to stop the massacre and rape of our people and resources and to reclaim the natural wealth of the Congo. Come to the 18th annual Bakasim Sunsum, Sunday, May 16th, where Nana Marcus Bogzaya Garvey tells us that he will never desert us. The warriors are not gone. They live in us and our children. They give us power. We make them powerful.
We've got to fight. Let's go fight.
That's this Sunday, Abakasim Sumsum, at the Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia, from 12:30 to 6:30 on this Sunday. And I plan to definitely be there. It's a good experience. Other programming we have here very quickly on African Perspectives, on Time for an Awakening Media. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This Friday, I'm going to do a discussion on the HBO series, Exterminate All the Brutes, a documentary that exposes the brutality of European colonization on the world, worldwide. And it's the producer is Raoul Peck. Raoul Peck is a brother from Haiti, and he has done other documentaries, I'm Not Your Negro, other documentaries he has done. And so that is going to be this Friday. And don't forget also, too, we'll continue to discuss the documentary Great Pyramid K, 2019, Great Pyramid K on YouTube. Go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid K, 2019. In fact, I suggest that every member of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAC, should watch this documentary because it basically substantiates the things that ASCAC has been putting forth for decades. So African Perspectives every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with Host Lawanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're talking about the influence that El Hajj Malik El Shabazz had on John Coltrane, based on an article written by Brother Turner. Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's get back to this discussion. And we also have some people in the queue. If you want to ask a question, hit star twice. Hit star twice. If you want to ask a question or comment, hit star twice, or just dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832.
Oh,
yes, go ahead.
So let me make this, I'm going to say this about commentary on Sufism, and then unless you have another question, you know, we can be done with that. But let me preface it by saying we put a lot on our brothers who have risen to stardom and gone on before us. Malik Shabazz, Malcolm, Muhammad Ali, you know, they're brothers who are beloved. And so sometimes people try to fit them in ways that work. For example, when I said earlier that Malcolm and John William Coltrane, wow, they those last couple of years of their life, they were going so fast. They were reaching, they were trying to get someplace. It is very difficult to say if they had lived, what kind of people they would be.
Right.
I believe they would continue to be intellectuals. But let me say this, Oshi. I made Hajj in 2000. And I had an excellent adventure there. But I have never said to you or anyone to address me as El Hajj Muhammad Abdullah.
Right.
Why?
Well, you know, I don't know about the title, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because, I mean, that's all it is. When people say El Hajj Malik, all it means is that he went on Hajj. You know.
But then why don't we say El Hajj Prophet Muhammad?
Yeah.
Prophet Muhammad only made Hajj once in his lifetime. I've never heard anybody call him El Haji Prophet Muhammad. That's something that people add on, and I'm just saying, you know, it's not a sin. I don't believe it's an unpardonable sin, but there certainly is an error in attaching that to someone, and it basically reflects a time when Malcolm was a baby in the religion of Islam. And some of the things, and I'll give you another one, and then we'll move on. The name Shabazz, there's never been no tribe of Shabazz. And if I knew better, and if Malcolm had lived long enough, he knew better, he would have never changed his last name, because that's something that you don't do in Islam. That's the heinous part of American slavery. One thing that in prison, a person, incarcerate a person, enslave a person, but to take away their name, that's one of the most heinous crimes you can commit in Islam. Adoption is permissible in Islam, but under no circumstances are you permitted to adopt a child and hide their lineage and give them a name that's not theirs.
So you can't. So you're saying that if I adopt a child and the child's name was Smith, but my name is whatever, and I give him my name, and just basically erase what happened previous. his, you know, who he is previous, and now he is mine. I've adopted.
That's
him
not an adoption. That's slavery. That's slavery. His name is, you know, lineage. Prophet Muhammad said, whoever identifies themselves or connects their lineage to someone who is not their father, grandfather, is cursed by Allah and all those who curse. It's something you just don't do.
But it happens all the
time. It's a commandment in the Quran that says, in English, approximately, call them by their father's name.
See, and that's the thing. Even though this country and Western society is not Islamic, and of course, what Western society has done, Europeans specifically has done, is impose their culture on the world, erasing the names of millions of people, and particularly African people. You know.
But Oshie, they did it to Vito Corleone. His name wasn't Vito Corleone. His name was Vito Andolini from Corleone, Italy. He was on Ellis Island. Just said it's Corleone, Vito Corleone.
Uh-huh.
That became it. you're conscious of people's lineage, because the lineage is important.
Yes, it is. That's why those of us strive to reconnect to who we are culturally and historically. You know, that's why I changed my name.
God bless you if you connect, because. Man, when something's been hidden for 400-500 years, unless you dealing with some DNA and some other, you know, documents, it's hard to connect these. I don't even know. I can't even find my father's roots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I ran to a wall, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, Sufism, Sufism, Dr. Sherman Abdul-Hakim Jackson wrote a book called Sufism for Non-Sufis. And what I took away from the book is, I'm going to quote a statement. Dr. Jackson is from Philly. I'm going to quote another person from Philly who we all love and respect. Jill Scott said,
Everything
ain't for everybody.
So what you say?
Sufism is not for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
My final statement.
You know, as I read the article, and I was trying to make the parallel, obviously I have no idea what he really means by Islamic spirituality, but we all
know.
He's
talking about Sufism, clearly.
That's what he's talking about.
Okay. He named it.
Okay.
If I took you on an interview or went into my library and showed you some things people do under the name, you'd be like, there is some sanctified Muslims. They talking in tongues.
Talking in tongues.
I never read that in the Quran. I never read that in the Sunnah.
Yeah.
How did this shit get in here?
Yeah. But one of the things that I
see if somebody has a question for us.
If you, brothers and sisters, if you hit star twice, I have a number of people who are in the queue. Brother from Albuquerque, Brother MVP.
Yeah.
How you doing? You have any questions or comments?
No, man, I'm just listening to the conversation, man. You know, I'm listening and learning. You know, it's been fine so far.
Well, great. I appreciate it.
And I'm just listening right now.
Well, thank you very much. If you have any questions, hit star 12. I got to put you back on mute, because a lot of times I get background noise. And so if you want to do it, hit star twice and you're in, okay?
No problem.
Right on.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. I know the other few that are, I know they just want to listen, so I understand that. But if you want to call in, if you have a question or comment, dial 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. What I got from the article and then listening to Love Supreme and so forth, we know that Coltrane changed his way. He realized he couldn't continue. When in fact, that's what he died from, didn't he? He died from lung cancer, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he died from cancer. And you know, cancer takes out to even to this very day. People are still smoking And smoking, as you stated earlier, is highly addictive, and people are still dying every day. And, of course, the
450,000 Americans die every year from nicotine and tobacco-related illness.
Yeah.
But it's something that's very preventable. Yeah. Let me tell you, when I went to Hodge, one of my major culture shocks, and they've changed it. Mecca and Medina is smoke-free now.
It's smoke-free? Really?
I cannot believe the amount of cigarettes these people were smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, when I came up, when I went through the customs process and came up into the airport, the first thing I saw was a billboard size, in the airport, a billboard size electric size of the Marlboro Man. In the airport in Saudi Arabia, in Dammam. I didn't fly. I flew out of Jeddah, but I flew into, most people go to Hajj, fly in and out of Jeddah. Because of the people, I was with a group of imams, 200 imams, and this individual in the military was our host. We flew into Dammam.
Mm-hmm.
And so this isn't a major, this is more or less a military area.
Okay.
The United States, when they set up military work and a lot of solid training and stuff goes on there.
Okay.
But man, cigarette smoking, young people, you see, cigarettes and a hookah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember, man, you know, cigarettes were pervasive everywhere, man. You could smoke on the plane, smoke in the terminal, smoke everywhere, smoke in restaurants, smoke in the firehouse.
In the courtroom. In the courtroom.
Wow, in the courtroom.
Doctors. You, there was a time when you would go to your doctor, he'd be examining you smoking a cigarette.
Yep. Well, they also too promoted them. They promoted camels with the Turkish tobacco. Yeah. You had doctors promoting them.
But Sir Walter Raleigh, that was the devil.
Yeah.
He came here and took this tobacco back, and they went to the lab on this. These people aren't smoking tobacco.
No, not like the tobacco that the indigenous people smoke. They're not smoking the tobacco that the indigenous. No, they chemicalized it.
There are 4,000 chemicals. 4,000 chemicals in a cigarette. Strychnine, and then when you light it, set it on fire, it becomes even more destructive and damaging to your organs.
And of course, if you light it, it'll burn itself out because they want you to smoke another one. So people who take a few puffs and put it by the ashtray, next thing you know, they got half a cigarette, like, damn. Or if they didn't touch it after that, the cigarette burns itself out because they want you to smoke another one and another one. And then you're done, get another pack.
It works fine for Count Basie. They said when Count Basie would be playing music in a club, he would play and then he would take these breaks. He'd stoop, and then he'd reach over and hit a cigarette and take a shot of whatever he was drinking and talk to somebody and come back in. So, it works fine for every one of these guys you see. I mean, artists that I love, man, from Louis Armstrong to Lee Morgan, they got a cigarette in their hand.
Yeah. But also,
Sassy.
Yeah.
Sarah Vaughan.
Yeah. Oh, Miss the Divine One. The Divine One. But, you know, and at that time, that was happening, you know. It was widely promoted, widely pushed, encouraged, you know. In that environment.
Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hollywood.
Very
Hollywood
seldom. Every now and then you might see a movie that is produced recent that has a lot of cigarette smoking in it. And that's only because they probably, that there is a dated in terms of how the movie's presented, what time frame it is. Because ordinarily.
For the character. They want to bring the character to the more life.
Yeah.
So they, but man, you're talking about firsthand, secondhand, thirdhand smoke.
Yeah.
All of them are.
Well, let me see.
Indirectly.
Let me see if this gentleman has a question or comment. Brother Art Harris. Art Harris, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Okay. Well, there was another issue that we wanted to talk about.
Yes.
And that is what's happening right at this moment in Israel. In fact, I just mentioned Bibi Atumi Bibi Tumi has a seminar, Saturday seminar, this Saturday. And believe me, I want to be a part of this. I'm going to check this out because it, let me pull it up right quick. Got to go through all of this madness here. It is, is this Saturday. It is 1 o'clock Eastern. It's the Saturday seminar. What is Israel in relation to black people? The danger of a single story. What is the relation of Israel to, you know, to us as black people? I know that many of our people want to tie us into, you know, because there's three kind of Jews. There's Falsa, Sephardic, and Ashkenazi. And of course, the people who dominate and control Judaism of today are the Ashkenazi. These are the European Jews who were late converts to Judaism, who dominate and control Judaism in all its facets, whether it's movies, entertainment, diamonds, you name it, they control it, you know. And so they.
But it's like the alphabet of that certain persuasion. You have to be very careful how you say what you just said, because you can point out some things about that particular persuasion, but you better be careful. Here's the unique thing about their situation, Oshi, to me, is that no one has done better what they have done. And the only word in your reference that you left out is Zionism.
Right.
Zionism is unique to this particular group of people who have who began to occupy parts of Palestine and Syria and Jordan and Egypt. I mean, this became a thing where, and they wove, their diaspora is woven so well that they're able to do this. And they can blatantly, for example, say that an Israeli life is only worth, in fact, I think Ariel right. Sharon said something time.
Ariel
said,
Sharon, that like, asshole. Ariel Sharon.
Yeah, where he said that the life of a Palestinian person compared to a Jewish person is like my fingernail.
Mm.
They're like my fingernail. They don't yeah. they're almost.
No existence, young, no count.
Yeah, his point well taken, because, yeah, that's the way they behave. But on the other hand, they've woven themselves in such a way where they get other people to speak up for them or sure. not say anything, even sure. when they do something. I mean, man, I saw them bomb an apartment building yesterday.
Right.
Man.
Yeah, they crumbled.
That was
yeah.
Yeah, there was, see, you know, where they, what they said was we gave a warning to evacuate the building.
Right.
Wow. Well, if my battery, the battery to my hearing aid is not
out. You're done.
Yeah, you're in trouble, Jack. But they, you know, they two things about them that are peculiar to me. One, that these are people whose major narrative is based on them being the Holocaust. But you would think that, well, if you experience treatment like that, then how could you turn around and treat some other people like that? And that's kind of what they do. And they, because their diaspora is so strong around the world, most of the world powers basically are not going to go, only going to go so far in condemning whatever they do. They can do whatever they do. They can evict people, you know, put them out of their houses, build settlements. And boy, for the past 4 years, they've had a nice ride.
Yeah.
But the other thing you have to admit when you talk about the racist, Oshi, what's the other particular characteristic about these people is they're all European.
They're European.
So to answer your question, even if you claim to be of their same faith, you are not going to be treated equal in their country.
Right. Because it's just like, even though they airlifted the Falsa Jews out of Ethiopia and brought them in, you know, into Israel, they're segregated. The same thing with the black Hebrew Israelites who live in Dimona, Israel. Right. They're segregated.
They've been trying to deport them for years.
Yeah.
For years they've been trying to deport them, brothers and sisters, man.
You know? In fact, you know.
They so deep, Oshie. When they brought those falashes from Ethiopia, somebody issued a fatwa or a decree saying, okay, we accept you all, but you got to go bathe in the River Jordan, like purify yourself by bathing in the River Jordan before we'll accept. I thought, wow, here's some people who are invited, some people whose history and the religion goes back
thousands
of
years. Exactly.
They're telling these people,
exactly,
you know, you got to whitewash yourself in order for us to accept you. Can you say? The racism and white superiority is a disease that's going all around the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, Europeans came out of that dark age, medieval age, and they said, well, we are a warlike people because of our evolutionary human development, and we war amongst ourselves on a constant basis. But we realize that when we war amongst ourselves, there's those who are outside of us, and so we're going to come together against all of them. And they had their so-called renaissance, awakening.
But, Oshie, who is the maestro? The maestro is that group of people that's over there. Because if you go on Fox News, or if you go on a Christian broadcasting network station today, they are going to be 100% in favor of whatever those people over there are doing, Netanyahu and those people are doing.
Sure.
They go get the support for that on Fox News and on evangelical broadcasting, radio, TV.
Pat Robertson, all of that, 700 Club, all of that, because all of that is tied, because their Christian belief is tied to Judaism, because the saying is that we support them, and they're tied to that Christian. Come on, Oshie.
Well, Paul created the room for them to come into so that they could accomplish what they wanted to do. They were too small to do what they wanted to do. But as I said to the people over at Gerald Jones' house the other day, I said, you know what? You could go into your King James Bible and read the scripture that says, that has the Jews saying, we own the Gentiles and whatever they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's clearly spoken in there.
Yeah.
And that's how they behave. Even though they may get hit with the stick from time to time, but come on, compare overall, you know, the kind of dominance that you made reference to, you know, there's as much, what the same thing they did with cigarettes in the film, these people did with diamonds in film.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of diamonds in the world.
Of course not. But they hoard them so they can inflate the price. That's why diamonds cost you thousands of dollars. We have a call.
Yeah.
We have a call. 646-646, good afternoon.
Yeah, what's happening, Odios? How's everything,
hey,
my brother?
What's up, Jay? How you been, man? I ain't heard from you in a while. You been doing okay?
Oh, man, I've been doing excellent. I had to go out of town on business. That's
right on.
All, man.
Well, I'm glad
you know,
care.
I didn't have Wi-Fi, so, you know, I couldn't really check out the program or anything like that. But, you know, as soon as I got back, I said, let me tune in to my brother and hear what he's talking about. Hey, listen, there's nothing greater than Coltrane, maybe other than Miles. And this whole thing with Israel and Palestine is nothing more than a continuation of what these white folks did to us Africans in South Africa. It's genocide, it's apartheid, it's brutalization, it's all of those things. But you know, I'm a little bit conflicted in some sense, because what gets me is when these Palestinians get an opportunity to come in our community, they treat us like sugar, honey, iced tea sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What do you mean sometimes?
well, sometimes. When I said sometimes, when I said sometimes there are those who understand the comparison of plight, and then there are those that want to act like the oppressor because now they feel in a sense that they have an opportunity to oppress somebody because they've been getting a foot in their ass for so long. So that's what that's what I'm talking about. Now, the reality is, I think that Israel just toy with them. I think whenever they decide that they need to beat up on somebody, abuse somebody, you know, like a bully does, that's what they do to the Palestinians. Myself, if it was me and I was Israel, I'd have killed all of them a long time ago because to me it's just, I don't like toying with people. It's
But see, they couldn't have done that.
It's like a lion on their prey.
But see, Jay, they couldn't have done that because of what allegedly happened to them in Poland and in Germany and so forth.
And that's why I say that they toying. That's why I say that they toying with them. That's why I say they playing with them. That's why I say it's more egregious and what they're doing to them than just doing what they need to do, what they like to do, what, you know, they feel they should do. It's not like the world is going to totally condone it. You got a lot of people who feel like, you know, they just taking the Palestinians out of their misery. I mean, these are conversations that people really don't want to have. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no quality really of life for Palestinian people in that region. I mean, you know, even the so-called ones that have privilege, they don't have a quality of life. The age expectancy is not what it should be. I mean, the only good thing in a sense is that their women continue to reproduce, which you got to take your hat off to. You really got to take your hat off to a woman that makes that choice to give birth to a child in that type of suffrage, because that's all they're doing is suffering. There's no luxury.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, I'll be right back to you.
Okay, hold on. Okay, Jay.
What you call him?
We have a caller, Brother Muhammad. 505. 505. Go ahead.
Yeah, Brother Montego out of Albuquerque. I've gotten to the point anymore. I have faith in God. That's it. Okay? I have no care or concern for the government because the government is the problem.
Okay.
Okay? It's always been the problem. It's going to keep being the problem. The reason why black people have there's a brother who's a scholar named Sir Hilary Beckles. He's an authority on the slave trade, and he can talk 2 hours without even referring to paper. He just goes back, books are in his head, and when he finishes up his lecture, he says, "If we could just get paid what we are owed for making other people rich, white folks rich, we wouldn't have any problems economically." Okay? That's how I see it. They've even brainwashed some of our people and say, "Oh, well, we ain't going to get no reparations. And here you come with that foolishness again. He just don't want to work." Nah, hell, we've been working all our damn life. We've been working for 400 years. That's the point. And not getting paid for it.
Yeah.
The whole capital complex, and there's more to the capital complex than just the Capitol and White House and all that. There's a whole lot of other buildings and things that, you know, black slaves built all of that. Mm-hmm. And we're the most, between us and the Native Americans, we're the most loyal people this system has. Fought in all the wars, put up with all the shit, while they're talking about George Floyd, while they're talking about the hearings and Chauvin and all that, they're still continuously killing us. They're killing our people. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I started thinking for myself. I had to start thinking for myself because our people have been brainwashed into not thinking for themselves. They want to, sometimes I don't even know how to put it. All I know is I'm as smart as anybody I can think of. And when it comes to feeding myself and taking care of myself or what have you, I'm 72 years of age.
Okay.
I've gotten this far between me and God. Okay. The rest of this crap, hey, the people up there in Washington, D.C., I look at them, they all got their suits on. You know, little Nancy Pelosi looks like she just stepped out of Vogue magazine. She lives in Nob Hill, San Francisco. I've been there, so I know what I'm talking about. Okay? She lives there. Nancy, what's her name? Dianne Feinstein lives there. And
billionaires.
Yeah.
Gay. Got all the money in the world. And
all of them are millionaires. All of them are hand in hand and our oppression. And the most egregious thing is people like James Clyburn. That's the most egregious thing in the black community is that we listen to an old fool like that who only benefit is to push forward and move forward white supremacy and to make it to where as a Negro has a little small place in it. That's a, look, what they yeah. deem to be yeah. a comfortable place, and they go along with the business at hand of keeping us oppressed. You know,
and look
what I
at
mean?
McConnell. It's look just, at McConnell.
Yeah.
McConnell been in office for 35 years. 35 years. Don't
want to
see anybody else have anything but him and his Chinese family, okay?
No, but the thing is, you can't totally blame him. Don't do that. That's where we make the mistake is. We blame not devil, but it's the disciples of the devil who is the reason why the devil is able to do his devilment.
I'm gonna blame them before I blame my own people. Okay, I'm gonna blame them before I blame my own people.
Yeah.
See, we have been dogging
our
own people out for so long.
Hold on, Jay.
We've been dogging our own people out for so long. Let me tell you something. We're some sharp people, man. We created the pyramids, okay? The Pythagorean theorem, what they say is a right triangle. What happens when you put a right triangle together with a left triangle? You get a pyramid. You get a triangle. Hey, all I know is I'm sick of these funerals, our funerals. I'm sick of all of that bullshit, okay?
Right.
Talk. When do we eat? You know, we got things like Chicago. They were talking about all the killings. Yeah, there are killings going on up there. But you know where the killings are coming from? Not necessarily. The black communities had gangs and all that going on. But you know who's really fueling that? The fucking Mexican cartel with the dope. Doping, you know, bringing that crap into our, none of the dope. We didn't create any of the dope. The dope was always brought into our communities. And right now, here we got the Mexican cartel doing the same thing in Chicago.
Okay.
Come here. We got people. Let me tell you something. I wonder how people feel. Poor whites, and there are black people who work in the mines, too, down south, Kentucky, Virginia, all those people. I wonder how they feel, and I wonder how the families of the poor black kids in the projects, how they feel when they look on TV. See these little suckers coming across the border, okay? Within a week or two, they wearing brand new Nikes, clothes, new soccer balls, new basketballs. When we got citizens right here who can't afford to buy clothes for their kids.
Yeah,
and okay. They're citizens and been citizens
okay.
For the last few generations.
All right, let me get
and
my.
And now at the same time, at the swallow at the same time. Now, hey, let me tell you something. You know, if anything, if you ain't with us, you're against us.
Well, listen, let me.
And most of them people are coming over here against us, going along with the white folks. Okay.
All right. Well, let me get my guest in here. Okay, my brother, and just hold on. All right, brother Muhammad. You heard.
what we really, really, really need for all of what I just heard is love supreme.
A love supreme, loving ourselves, loving each other, respecting ourselves, trusting and believing in each other. That is something that the European has definitely tried to make sure that that doesn't happen. You know, I remember when me and you went to...
You call it an infection, Oshie. That's what you call an infection.
Yeah.
And just dig this. I have to drop this before we go. I watched a piece yesterday. Do you know who invented vaccine? There's a piece I saw yesterday about this brother. I have his name in my phone.
Who invented vaccines? I think that happened.
He came up with this brother was kidnapped and brought over here.
Right.
And the man who enslaved him.
Right.
He took it from him, but he showed him how to put. Came up with a cure for smallpox.
Right.
Before they even had a whole different name, but wow, I was like, wow. We can do some things. We just started.
Well, look what
leaders not so long.
Yeah, look at George Washington Carver. And all the things that he did, the brilliance of Africa. You know, I'm encouraging my listeners and Brother Muhammad, you need to check this out on YouTube, the Great Pyramid K. And K stands for Kemet. And Kemet means land of the blacks, not the black land, land of the blacks. The Great Pyramid K, 2019. It's a 3.5 hour long documentary, but it is profound. It is, to me, it is a game changer. You got to, you know.
I'm going to watch it. Oh, shit, we'll talk.
Please do. Definitely.
All right, my brother.
All right, Brother Muhammad.
Peace and blessings to all.
All right. Thank you, dear brother. Yeah. So, Brother Jay.
My brother.
Yeah. Let me just say this before we go. I really appreciate all those who have called in and all those who have listened today. I know we got a few more minutes, you know. We are in probably the toughest times for us as African people globally, because everywhere on this damn planet where African people are, we're in a tenuous, precarious position. We're at the bottom. Just like John Henry Clark said, we have no friends. We have no friends. And what you see happening on the continent. In fact, I just saw a piece on South Africa where these Caucasians, and I saw a piece from years ago, but it's a recent one. It's a more recent one. They're building a little city town within South Africa, specifically for them. It'll be gated and so forth. And basically they'll create some sovereignty within South Africa for these Caucasians. You know, they'll be self-contained. Nowhere on the damn planet as African people can we do that. We can't do it in Europe. We can't do it in China where we are, and Southeast Asia. We can't do it. And damn it, seems like we can't even do it in Africa in the right way. We are in a very precarious position. That's why it's incumbent upon us to throw off all this ignorance, all this superstition, all this tribalism, all of this, and to unite. This, like I said, the name of this, you know, this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. We need to be a sovereign people. We need to determine for ourselves what our direction is. And one of the main impediments for us is religion. Is religion. Malcolm said it best. He said, when I come to the table to discuss the issues that are affecting African people, what is impacting us, I'm not going to bring out Islam. Because if I brought out Islam, there's going to be some issues with those who are Jehovah's Witnesses and those who are Christians and those who are, you know, Black Hebrew Israelites and so forth. And the same would happen with them if they brought that out. Because we don't suffer because we are of those theologies. We suffer because we are African. Bottom line. And so, you know, to me, that's the bottom line for us right now. We must come together.
The bottom line is what we gonna do about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we could philosophize. We could talk about it. We could do all of those things. But it really boils down to what are we going to do about it? And the most important thing is that we have to identify what it is. And a small group of us are going to have to figure out how to deal with it and make it right. Because the collective of Black people are never going to make our condition right because they're too embedded in the love of white folks.
Yeah.
They love white people too much. They love trinkets of what white people have to offer more than liberation of African people.
What is that?
Until you deal with that, we just going to be in the same situation on a merry-go-round going round and round and round.
What is that, Jay? I think it's Dr. Fox's book, Addicted to White in Service to the Oppressor.
Some of his book is good.
Yeah.
And some of his book
I agree.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
The bottom line is this, OC. It's only going to be a handful of people, just like as we look at history, there's a handful of people we always talking about. How it is that 50 years later, as a people, we still talking about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Garvey and having took their lessons and improved on it and identified new people to lead us to what we always talk about, the so-called promised land. That's why we're not going nowhere. White folks don't do that. Mm. White folks come up with new innovative ideas to oppress you.
Yeah.
They don't use the tools of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington
and white folks to oppress us. No, they
don't approve upon it.
Right. Yeah, they use the modern technology, the modern technology and so forth. The bottom line is we have to reject any and everything that Caucasians bring. Our whole thing should be rejecting any and everything white. White flour, white sugar, white people, reject everything. White bread, everything white.
I'm not giving up white socks and white t-shirts and white teeth. I mean, I'm not going to do that, OC. I can give up the socks and the t-shirt, but no, OC, I don't want to give up white teeth. I mean,
okay,
come on,
man. White draws.
Your tidy whiteies. That's white. Yeah. You know what I mean? It gotta be something that you equate the same thing as not wanting dark noodles.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
All right, brother.
You know what? But as always, it's an honor to speak to you again, brother. I'm glad to be back on the set listening to your wisdom
and eldership.
And listen, OC, we'll talk on Friday. Because I heard from a little birdie that you took the vaccine.
Negative.
Okay.
Well, on Friday we'll be discussing the documentary Exterminate All the Brutes by Raoul Peck on this Friday. If you get a chance to watch it, please do. It's a four-piece, one-hour segment each on HBO. Please check it out. And give us some of your conversation as it relates to this. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahorie. Bibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.